magical place we could go. So close your eyes and make a wish for the skies with the angriest, flappiest birds, and the seas with ridiculous fish. The Dutch Arcade Show is here again. It's Friday night and I'm with my friends, Eli, Jared, and Mike most of the time. Mike, come on, let's go to the Dutch Arcade Show.
Hey guys, what is up? Welcome to the Touch Arcade Show, episode number 448. That's a lot of numbers. We're just talking about how things have gone a little crazy in the last week since we last had an episode. I think
that's an understatement.
Last week we were talking about, like, oh, it's crazy. There seems to be protests in Minneapolis and some stuff's going down and blah, blah, blah. And then, like, basically that night and last weekend, things really went through the roof. And I'm in Sacramento, which was one of the highlight cities for debauchery.
Yeah, I texted you. Like, I was watching the news, and it was like, downtown Sacramento's on fire. I should see what the chair is okay.
Well, it's crazy because I think it was that Saturday, we had driven to go up and see my parents and do like a backyard distance hangout type thing or whatever. And that was cool. I got to see the baby and all that good stuff. And then drove home, and then we were driving home right at our kids' normal nap time. And so we fell asleep in the back seat. And so we're getting closer to home, and I'm like, oh man, should we keep driving for a little while? Cause he's asleep and I don't want to just get home and wake him up or whatever. So we decided to take like a detour through our downtown area, which is just a couple of miles from where I live, but I live in sort of like a fringe suburb right outside the like main downtown area.
Yeah.
And so we were driving through, just kind of scoping things out, curious to see if there was people out or if there's protesting out or whatever. And we drove down a parallel street to a street that they were doing a huge march down with tons of people. And we were like a couple blocks from where the Capitol is, because we're the capital city of California. So it's kind of like a big thing to do protests at the Capitol. I mean, for all sorts of reasons or whatever. And so anyway, we were just really surprised by how many people were marching down the street. And then we were also like, holy crap, we don't want to get stuck in any of this stuff.
Yeah.
So we sort of like took a turn and got away from that area and made our way home. The kid woke up anyway and so whatever, and didn't really think much about it. And then you had texted me, like, are you okay?
Yeah.
I was like, what are you talking about? Because like I said, we're a couple miles away, so it's not like there was anything heavy happening right in my neighborhood or anything, and not even really any noise or whatever. And we were just kind of having a normal night, totally unaware of what was going on. But after you texted me, I started to look up on like Twitter and stuff like that, like things that were happening. There's a bunch of people live streaming everything going down or whatever. And yeah, it was like a legit war zone, like the sort of thing you see happening in other countries.
Yeah.
People getting tear gassed and flashbangs going off and crowds of people running and screaming. And it just sort of blew my mind that sort of thing was happening in my little city.
I mean, because that's like, what, 20-minute walk from your house, maybe? It would be like there?
No, it'd be like, it'd probably be like a good hour walk. But like 20.
Right. I guess I don't have a good frame. Like, so 20 minutes just gets you to like the bars and stuff, but that's not necessarily like downtown, right?
Yeah, right. Okay. Like, it'd be a little bit further if you walk, which we have walked that far. I mean, it's super walkable or whatever, but you know, we're far enough removed that nothing really crept up our way or anything like that. But just watching all those videos, scary, and not knowing how much further things were going to escalate or whatever. And then I guess it was the next day, or maybe it was Monday, when the National Guard showed up. And then I don't know what's scarier, seeing people running and screaming from cops or seeing like Humvees parked on every corner with armed soldiers posted up.
That's crazy.
Everywhere. But I will say that there was no more looting or any of that crazy stuff that went down like it did on like Saturday, which is good. I mean, it sucks. A lot of local businesses got really thrashed. And they might close because of it, you know what I mean? And that's sort of unfortunate or whatever. But also, I don't know, people rising up, people are angry. And I think that there was a nice separation. We saw a lot of videos showing the separation of people protesting versus people that were just there to like break something or rob a store, whatever. And then you even see a lot of protesters that lined up and like blocked a certain business's storefront because someone was trying to mess with it or something like that. And trying really hard to be like, look, this isn't what we want. This isn't what we're here for. But still, I feel like in the media, the coverage has all been these protesters are looting and rioting.
It's all getting like, mixed into one.
Conflating the two. And that's especially true with Pam's parents who were in town and stopped by for a couple of visits over the last few days, who were just like, it's terrible what's happening with these protesters and all this stuff. And I'm like, no, I think the protester stuff is cool. Like they have, they want their voice to be heard and it is affecting a lot of change or whatever. But don't confuse that with the people that are smashing up stores and stuff.
Yeah.
There's two different things going on there. And from what I've witnessed firsthand through many of those videos, people that are fully peacefully protesting just getting beaten down by the cops that were out. And you're seeing that all over the country. And it's not – nobody's trying to hide it. You know what I mean? It's all on video, and they don't seem to care. So
that's what's been amazing to me is, like, how brazen the cops have been with this kind of stuff. You know, like, like the most recent one that everyone, you know, is rightfully extremely upset about was that old dude in Buffalo, New York last night that just gets fucking, like, plowed over by the cops, and they just, like, walk past him as he's sitting there, like, bleeding from his head.
Yeah.
Which is just, like, I don't know. It's
I mean, it's good that there's so much videoing going on from people that are watching what's happening, because if not, this stuff would just happen.
Oh, yeah.
And nothing would ever come from it.
I mean, it really makes you wonder, like, in situations in the past where there's been, like, you know, large-scale protests and civil rights movements and stuff like that, like, when everyone didn't have a cell phone in their pocket capable of broadcasting to Facebook Live or whatever, like, just how much truly heinous shit went down, you know, like
so much, so much. I guarantee. Yeah, it is.
What's been wild though is seeing how there's now not only protests in like every major city, but also like basically every urban center of any kind,
every state, and multiple other countries too. The thing that kind of blew me away is seeing like London and Ireland and France and tons of these other countries that are like staging these protests with thousands and thousands and thousands of people in support of the crap going on over here, which I think that's neat. Like that's a cool solidarity thing, and it means that the world's eyes are on us.
So
I don't know, things are crazy.
The shitty thing that happened here, so I live in rural Tennessee now basically, and a couple, I think the two organizers were like 16 and 17 or something like that. And they wanted this Saturday, they wanted to have a peaceful protest at the like county courthouse, which is like where the town square is and stuff like that, basically. And I was like, oh, all right, damn, cool. Like, yeah, sure. I'll, you know, we'll come out, like whatever. I got nothing to do. We'll hang around.
Sit there and hold a sign, like whatever.
See what's up. And like the organizers received so many death threats that they just ended up like canceling the thing. Like direct death threats and people being like, well, I'm going to come with my gun and make sure that everyone's behaving and no one better step out of line because I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. And it's just like, God, that is just like the shittiest thing.
But I thought constitutional rights were so important to protect. Or is that only when you care about
your
right to bear arms?
That's what's kind of seems to be like the bifurcation of this whole thing where it's like, I mean, like, I've always been a person where it's like take, like, the fucking, like, Westboro Baptist Church or whatever, right? Like, anyone would agree that those people are terrible. Like, I would hope anyway. But, like, they definitely have the right to do all the dumb shit that they do. I mean, that's part of this country, you know? Like, no matter how vile your bullshit is, like, you have the freedom to, you know, protest and do whatever you want, basically. And I don't know. It just really, like, I spent, like, an hour or two talking to the organizer over Facebook Messenger, and they were just like truly terrified by response that they saw locally from people.
Yeah.
Which was, I don't know, just an extreme bummer.
It is a bummer. And there is a problem, and I don't have the solution. I don't know if anybody does, but something I read today was, I think somebody was introducing a bill or something like that that was basically like, you know, situations where there's like, you know, like there's obvious mental instability with somebody, or like a drug problem or something like that, or emotional problems or something like that. Like, not just sending your regular old ass cops to go in there and deal with those situations. And a lot of people have brought up that problem with in regards to like homelessness, where it's like, man, homelessness is out of control. And you see it a lot in my city, where it's like, hey, a crazy tent city popped up in the empty lot across the street from my house, and I feel really uncomfortable with all the trash and people shitting in the streets and stuff like that. And, you know, there's no, nobody really does anything about it. Like, enough squeaky wheels might get the cops to make them all move or something like that after several months, and when things have truly gotten out of control or whatever. But then they just move on to somewhere else, and it's not really like getting to the heart of the problem of those things. Whereas if you're having like, if somebody's like whacked out on drugs or has a crazy mental problem and is like doing something, you know, it's not always the right thing to just send a normal cop to them. It's sometimes better to send somebody that has experience with mental health problems to de-escalate the situation, which is kind of the crux of this whole thing. A lot of times cops just don't have the training or just don't have the will to want to de-escalate things. And instead just sort of like brute force the problem away, which isn't working that great. So,
yeah, it's, I don't know. It's really, really disheartening to see that kind of thing. And this, it's been interesting looking, getting a look at what police budgets actually are in a lot of these cities. And it's kind of mind-boggling to see, like, not only how much money goes specifically to the police, but also then how much money is then paid out based on various like police lawsuits and stuff. Because I don't know, like, so my cousin did I don't know, he was in seminary school to be a minister, and like whatever you call like the where you go to assist a church before you actually become a minister, whatever the word for that is, he did that in Baltimore, and it had like all these stories about how like he was in, you know, an extremely poor area of town, and like, you know, all this stuff, and they just like hassled by cops like 24 hours a day and all this crazy shit. And it's like, then you go and look that up, and it's like, oh, well, the police budget's hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars a year.
Yeah.
And like, if you instead spent that money on like investing in the community and like all this other stuff, like, would those shitty areas that the cops spend so much time in actually be shitty anymore? Probably not.
Right.
You know, at which point, like, do you need this massive police force to enforce this problem that you can solve through, you know, basically investing in people? Like, I don't.
Yeah. I mean, people have vested interests in keeping ghettos ghetto.
Yeah.
And not doing anything about it, which is kind of part of the problem, too. But it is super sad looking at, like, when you compare budgets of things like the military or the police. And then you look at like the budgets of like school systems and these like services that are super underfunded or whatever. And you're just like, damn, man, if you could slash like the smallest percentage point off of like the military budget, you could like fund so many of these crazy programs that everyone says there's no money for or whatever, without like weakening, you know, your position with, you know, military or anything like that. But if you even bring that point up, people are like, oh, you're anti-military.
Yeah, blah, blah, blah. Oh, you want to defund the police, so you want no police? That's interesting. Like, and it's like, no, I just...
Like, that's not the point, but, like, if there's any part of government that's more mismanaged than military, I don't know what it is, because that's just, like, funneling money into all sorts of crap. And my buddy who's been in the military for 18 years now, like, just the stuff that he has to go through sometimes is so ridiculously like wasteful, where they sent him out to go do this training in somewhere in the Midwest, Mississippi, I think. And he flies down there, and it was like just before Christmas. And then he gets there for like 2 days, and he's like, they're like, okay, well, it's like Christmas break. Like, they hadn't started school or anything like that. So it's like, fly him back for 2 weeks for Christmas, and then fly out again later And like the school program like still wasn't up and running, so he's just like sitting on his ass for like a week or two. And it's just like all this dumb stuff where it's like, man, how much money did we spend flying somebody back and forth like that? How many other people did we do that to? Instead of just being like, somebody could have stopped and been like, hey, let's just wait till Christmas is over to start this thing and send everyone out at once. And little things like that where I feel like, man, we could be saving some money off of dumb stuff like that if there's just anybody paying attention or caring enough to try and like manage it well.
It's I have friends that are in they do military contracting for like IT stuff, and it really sounds like their whole business is like, if you know the right people and you're in the right place at the right time, you just basically stand there with your bucket and it gets filled with money. That's cool, I guess.
It's kind of sad when our entire, like, you know, federal budget is majority goes to stuff like military, and then you see it getting spent that way while my sister-in-law, who's a teacher, is buying her own supplies. And even when I was a kid going to grade school in the 80s, we had like that dirty brown recycled paper we had to use that would tear if you just pressed too hard. And we'd have to fill out one side of it and flip it over and use the other side because otherwise we wouldn't have paper. Things like that. That was decades ago. You know what I mean? And stuff like that's still happening where my sister-in-law has got to buy all of her own supplies and stuff like that. And this is for even when she worked at a private school, which is just crazy. So I don't know.
It's disappointing.
Too much to even wrap my head around that's just going wrong. And I don't know how to fix any of it. And I'm not anybody that's going to make a difference. I just care about keeping my family safe. And that was what really scared.
I mean, the whole thing is just made like doing anything in the world of video games really weird. Like we decided to skip a release this week just because it was like, we usually get like pretty decent traction on like social media and stuff like that when we release a new game, but it's like, dude, no one's paying attention to video game stuff right now because everyone's watching the last fucking video of some cop beating the shit out of people, you know?
Right. Yeah, it's been the same with Tetricade where it's like, I don't know, there's some big newsworthy things that you kind of have to post about or whatever, but then it's been especially slow. Obviously, there's not like news just pouring in and stuff that we're like dying to write about anyway. But even so, I'll at least try to like scrape the barrel and find like an upcoming game trailer or something like that, like just to get things up on the site. And even that has just felt very hard to do this week because it's like, God, who cares? Like, I don't know. Like, on one hand, you feel like it's a distraction for people to be able to read and about video games and blah, blah, blah. But at the other, it's like, I just don't care right now. You know?
Yeah, I mean, it sucks because, like, I was talking to, so our engineers at Game Club are based in Denmark, and I was asking them, like, hey, is this, like, dominating your news cycle, too, like it is here? And, like, I guess in other parts of the world, it's basically like, hey, look at this fucked up shit going on in the United States. All right, now here's what's going on here kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I guess when you're doing something from, like, on a global scale, you know, like mobile games are, like, maybe it's not as tone deaf as it feels like it is.
Right.
But I don't know, like as an American sitting here right now, it feels extremely tone deaf to be like, you know, talking about fucking 99 cent video games when like people are getting their heads slammed by the police and shit.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's weird times, but
with that, maybe we should talk about some iPhone games.
I guess we should scoot on over to the iPhone gaming news because that is what this is, but it is nice to take a break, I think, from things too, and get your mind on something else. And so that's what I guess we'll be trying to do. But also, it just is very hard with everything going on to just function normally. It definitely is. So.
Yeah.
But anyway, with that said, the stuff that happened in this last week, mobile gaming news wise, Fallout Shelter Online launched in a few new countries. You might remember a couple of years ago when this Fallout Shelter Online popped up in China, and it was more or less Fallout Shelter with a bunch of online functionality, like you could do PvP and PvE, and you could create and join guilds and all that stuff. And it also had a lot of extra content, like extra characters and missions and things like that. And I think Fallout Shelter was always a really cool game, but it was also like the kind of game that you would like master and then like break, because yeah. you'd get min-max everything to the point where it was just like not even fun anymore or whatever. And then after that, it would be like, well, you could start over and do it again, or you'd just be over it. And I always thought Fallout Shelter Online felt like it was taking that game and giving it legs, you know, meant more things to do or whatever. And so we reported on about it when it was announced in China and came out in China, sort of on the assumption that this is a new version of Fallout Shelter that'll come out everywhere. But that seemed to not be the case. It stayed in China until this week. It launched in Indonesia, Singapore, and Japan, and a few other countries. And so now I'm kind of thinking again, like, maybe this is getting popular enough, they're expanding it. Maybe it is something that'll come out west someday. And it'll just be like a huge Fallout Shelter Online thing that's just this worldwide, social version of Fallout Shelter.
When I saw this, I was surprised that it wasn't already out. Like, because I remember all this news, and I was like, all right, that's weird they're reporting on that, because that seems like it has to have been out like forever, right?
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's the case, though, is that it was only out in China so far. It was like this special version just for China. So they are expanding it to more Asian territories, and still no like confirmation if it'll go out beyond that or not. But I'd like it to. I think it'd be cool, nice refresh take on Fallout Shelter, which I feel like everybody's probably not like actively playing anymore anyway. So
yeah,
we'll see.
I read that, and I don't know if this is true or not, but I read that Fallout Shelter is actually going to be one of the games on the Tesla cars.
Oh, I read something about that somewhere. Yeah. I think that was one of the games, but yeah, that's kind of weird to have all these games on your Tesla touchscreen thing.
Well, I think all the games just are like free and included with the car. So I'm curious, like how they're going to balance it being a free to play mobile game. Like, I don't know.
You probably don't care if it's just going to be on a Tesla car. You're like, just put the game on there. We don't care if it makes money or does anything.
Yeah.
But that is kind of a weird thing. So.
Yeah, I hope that comes out globally, because I think it would be a really cool game. I really don't understand why it's only in Asia, but, you know, whatever. I guess I guess nowadays you just soft launch stuff for literally years and then just decide to say, hey, it's out now. At least that's how
Bethesda does seem works. To happen a lot. So moving on, Android people, your day has finally come that you can now buy Dead Cells on Android. This is such a good game. Oh my God. We picked it as the game of the year last year.
I still think you should buy it on Switch.
I have it on Switch.
I started, you know, the general out there
listening. Yeah. I do like it on Switch. Actually, it feels like two totally different games, but they don't cross sync either. So I have like two sets of progress going too, which has been interesting, just because of the stuff you unlock and the rate at which you progress is so wildly different and so randomized, that it's kind of cool having two different games going at once. But anyway, Dead Cells on mobile plays super well, works with controllers, but the touchscreen controls are actually really good. And it's a fully premium game. It's $9 just as it is on iOS. And people have been anxious for this to come out on Android, so it's finally there. You can go find it on Google Play. Drop your $9 down, and this game will keep you busy for many, many, many moons.
Oh, well, my plans to record early so I could go out and do shit before the protest started has failed, considering it's now happening.
Everything get crazy.
Everything well, getting crazy. So, all right. Well, whatever.
But anyway, Playdigious, who brought this to mobile for Motion Twin, is also still working on the DLC stuff. So eventually these mobile versions of the game will be caught up with like the desktop and console versions. But right now they're sort of the vanilla versions of the game. But at least this was one of their big milestones to get out of the way before they went more full steam ahead with that stuff, is getting the Android version out. So that's a good step. And if you're on Android, I highly, highly, highly recommend spending $9 on this game. You'll get more than $9 worth out of it for sure. Very good game. So hopefully that DLC comes not too far out in the future too.
Yeah, I nothing but good things to say about Dead Cells. I just feel like it's a game that is better served with physical controls.
Yeah, I guess it
You could have it on like an Android tablet and play with a controller. That'd probably be cool.
Yeah, you could. Well, I mean, I think Android just works. It's a controller supported game. So yeah, I mean, you could play with a controller or not. I always really appreciated that it's just in my pocket and ready to go, and I don't need to like fumble with any extra peripherals or anything like that. And it's still very playable with touchscreen, but it is very much meant for buttons. Yeah. So up to you if you think you can hang with virtual button stuff or not. But
yeah, I don't mean to make it sound like it's super bad or anything. I just think it's better on the Switch.
Yeah. So Pine Studio is releasing a new game called The Academy, which they've been working on for a while, which they say is kind of a hybrid between Professor Layton and Harry Potter. And it didn't occur to me. I was like, Pine Studio, why does that sound familiar? Well, Pine Studio are the people that made The Far Away. They're sort of like those Myst-like first-person adventure games. Do you remember those? We posted about them over the years. There was four that I knew of. And I posted about them every time a new one came out. They're these really awesome first-person puzzle adventure games with like this really cool kind of like clean aesthetic and cool puzzles and a neat storyline and lots of hidden cool stuff or whatever. And they're like not too long, not too short. They had really good pay models too, where you could essentially play through the whole game for free if you wanted, or you could pay to disable ads and unlock extra chapters and blah, 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 all this stuff. But anyway, so I was finally like, oh, they're the people that made Far Away. And then you watch the trailer for The Academy and you're like, oh, damn, this looks like a super complex, massive like version of something like Far Away. Like it still has sort of the same style, but it's like a way bigger and just a grander version of like that sort of first person puzzling game or whatever, with like way more storyline and just looks like a really, really cool game. And then in the process of realizing all this stuff, I also learned that there's two other Far Away games that came out that I never even knew about. So there's Far Away 1, 2, 3, and 4, which I've played all those and posted about them and stuff. But then there's also two more, one called Far Away Tropical Escape and one called Far Away Galactic Escape, which, you know, one takes place in the tropical, one takes place in space. But I was like, that was like a special bonus for me because I'm like, shit, yeah, two more Far Away games to play. So, yeah, kind of funny that they never emailed us or let us know that there was new Far Away games coming out. They used to be pretty on top of doing that sort of thing. But anyway, yeah, The Academy looks super awesome. You should definitely check out the trailer for it. And it's coming out this month, and pre-orders are live if you like to do pre-ordering. Looks like it'll be free with a full game unlock of around $10. So that seems like a good deal to me.
Yeah, that's cool.
But yeah, basically Far Away, but more and better is all I need to be sold. Looks like June 19th. June 19th is the actual specific release date. So just a couple of weeks away from today, actually. So that's pretty cool. Yeah, download the Far Away games. They're all free and they're all super awesome. And now there's six of them apparently, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, what they have it was a no ads in-app purchase, right?
Something like that. It's weird. like
buy coins. I don't remember what the coins are used for.
To unlock new chapters, if I remember.
Oh,
right.
Yeah, all levels are $3.
Yeah, or you could just unlock. You could unlock packs of levels. Like I think there's 18 levels, and you get to play like 9 right off the bat. But then the rest are sold in like 3 packs of 3 or 1 pack of everything that's like a little bit cheaper than if you bought everything separately or whatever. It's somewhat convoluted, but it's not like gross free to play like it normally is. But you can actually play for free through the entire game as far as I'm aware. So it was always kind of cool. But yeah, download and play Far Away games. They are very awesome. This was some exciting news that actually have to add an addendum to, but Slay the Spire finally has a launch window on mobile. People have been talking for basically this entire year. Slay the Spire was on early access and on Steam for a long time, and then its official launch was actually in January of last year. And then it made its way to like PS4 and Switch and Xbox throughout the year.
Yeah, have you played this yet?
No, I have not. I've resisted buying the Switch version like a million times because I was like, I feel like this is just going to be the perfect game for mobile.
Yeah.
But originally, the mobile versions were supposed to be out in 2019, but they never came. They got delayed in December, kind of a last minute, we're not going to make the 2019 release date sort of delay. The problem is that since then, in the 6 months since then, there's been basically no official information on what's going on. And that has led all of the extremely excited, anxious people that are waiting for this version to kind of start speculating about all sorts of weird situations on why the game isn't getting done. Mm-hmm. One of the most prevalent ones was that they farmed this out to some studio that was like turning it into like this crazy free-to-play bastardization of the original game. And so everyone was sort of like up in arms, not having information, right? Sometimes that's a bad thing. Like I can understand, not wanting to like always spoil everything and tell everybody everything. But also I feel like it's good to get certain information out there so that people don't start speculating and right, things right. start running wild. So, that's kind of what developer Megacrit did this week. They updated their Steam page forum little section with an announcement saying Slay the Spire finally coming to iOS this month. It's going to be $10, and it's going to be basically the same experience as on PC, minus any mods or anything like that. But it's basically just going to be a straight port, which is very, very good news and very exciting. The bummer part about all this is that they were going to announce the specific release date and some additional details during the Guerrilla Collective online little games conference thing that was happening this weekend.
Yeah, it's like Greg fake E3, basically.
Yeah, fake E3. And that was supposed to kick off this Saturday and go through Monday, but they've actually pushed that back a week too, which isn't super surprising, but... it is kind of bummer. I was thinking tomorrow I actually thought they would stealth drop it tomorrow. They'd be like, oh, here's mobile Slay the Spire in action. Also, it comes out today or something like that. I feel like that'd be a pretty cool thing to do. But we won't know for another week what's going to happen. But I feel pretty confident with them coming out and saying all this stuff that June will be the month. If it's not right away, it'll be this month, like they said. I don't think there's going to be anything that's going to come in and wreck the release date again or cause another delay. So that's pretty cool. Slay the Spire, I feel like, is going to do gangbusters on mobile and kind of be like the best way to play it.
Yeah, but this game's really good. And it was one of these games that, like, you would buy it on console. I played it on Switch. But it's just, like, annoying that it's not a phone game because it's, like, so... it's a card game, and card games always work really well.
It feels mobile, built for it seems mobile. Like.
Yeah, it's like if you haven't played it, it's this deck building sort of roguelike kind of randomized sort of thing. It's really, really good. My only complaint with it is that much like a lot of these kind of like roguelike-ish games, is that like once you kind of like figure out the trick, you know, there's not a whole lot of point to playing it anymore.
Yeah.
But, you know, like getting to the point where you like completely understand the strategy of the game and can like reliably beat it and all that stuff is really fun.
It's worth it. Yeah.
I don't know. Like I played on the Switch for probably like a solid month or so before I hit the point where it was like, I could just reliably beat it every single time. And
everything kind of lost its luster.
Yeah. But I mean, I feel like that's kind of the case with like most deck building games because like you just kind of like, you know, eventually learn what kind of deck you should be building and what's the most effective way to play your cards and how to deal with all the different enemies. But learning that's really cool. And I would recommend like avoiding guides if possible, because like a lot of the fun of the game is being like, oh, okay. Oh, these two cards go together. That's really actually pretty cool.
Right. And
all that kind of stuff. But once you figure all that stuff out, the game becomes sort of easy. And then the problem is like once you cap out on kind of like the normal mode or whatever, the hard mode is just like brutally fucking difficult. Where if you make like even the tiniest little miscalculation, it's just like, yeah. All right, well, that entire run is scrap now. And
yeah,
I wish there was kind of like a middle ground where it was like
right
harder but not hard
yeah.
mode.
Yeah,
because
right.
I'd probably still be playing it, but.
Yeah.
But yeah, Slay Spire is really good. I'm surprised it's taken it this long to come to mobile because it seems like it should have been on mobile from the get-go. But
it's also one of those situations where it has taken so long to come to mobile that at least a half a dozen other people have come in and made like very similar Slay the Spire like games. They have done really well, like Pirates Outlaws one, and, mm-hmm. and there's a handful of others that none of them are like quite as good, but they're like they scratch the same sort of itch. And there's definitely been a lot of people that have been following along in the forums for Slay the Spire that have been like, you know, I'm kind of tapped out on this whole thing, that I'm not even like as excited about the official release anymore because I've played like every derivative of it that's come out.
Yeah.
Some of which have been very good.
Yeah. When I,
so it's kind of like a,
originally I wanted to play this game on my phone, you know, so I searched the App Store for it. It wasn't on there. And I don't remember which ones I downloaded, but I downloaded a few different free to play versions of this that. The same basic idea, but you know, and a couple of them were really good. I mean, I wanted to play Slay the Spire so I could like talk about it with my friends because you know, they were telling me how awesome it was, and I didn't want to be like, oh, well, I'm playing Pirates of the Caribbean cards on my phone instead, you know, like or whatever.
So it is kind of funny to see like the effects of when you do wait too long, kind of like what 2048 and threes situation where it was like you took too long to get a free threes out. And 2048 came along and sort of usurped you. So hopefully it doesn't happen here. I think it's
I think
Slay the Spire still has kind of like the brand recognition.
Yeah, I almost wonder if there wasn't some like inadvertent wisdom in having it come out so late because like if you came if you played it like last year on your PS4 or whatever, like you might be like, oh yeah, cool. I'll grab this game and play it again on my phone. That's neat.
Yeah.
Versus
yeah.
like, it, like if it had come out soon, maybe you would have been like, oh, I just played that. It's fine.
I already have it on Switch or whatever. Yeah,
yeah.
Totally. So moving along, we've talked about this before, but I figure it's worth mentioning again that Stardew Valley is on sale again for $4.99. It's normally, what is it?
$10.99? $8.99?
Oh, I forget what the normal price is. But $5, that's pretty cheap for Stardew Valley. You can play that game a whole lot. The mobile versions seem pretty cool too, and they pretty recently got a huge update, adding in a bunch of new stuff. I think that was towards the end of last year, bringing it more in par with the other versions of the game. But yeah, I don't know, $5. It's not like it never goes on sale.
Yeah.
In fact, it was just on sale like I want to say a couple of months ago. But I still feel like it's such a good game that if you don't have it already, and you need to. Kill some time being stuck inside with curfew or something, or COVID or whatever else is going wrong in the world. Stardew Valley is kind of a good way to forget about everything for a while and get lost in your farming and your relationships. And such a good game.
It's really, really immersive. And this is, I don't know. I would say this game also very good on Switch, but maybe better on mobile.
Yeah.
Because
I still have yet to fire up a new game on mobile.
Well, so what makes the mobile version so good, like maybe they already have updated the Switch version. I really hope they do. But the auto tool select is like a game changer on mobile.
Yeah, so, I wish Animal Crossing had that.
Yeah, no kidding. So like if you haven't played this game before, like a lot of it is like inventory and tool management, like a lot of crafting games, you know. But so you'll be like clearing your field or whatever, you need to equip your axe to chop a tree and then equip your, I think shovel or pickaxe or something to break a rock. And then like your hoe to, or no, your scythe, I think to cut grass. I don't remember whatever the tools are, but it's just kind of like one of these things that doesn't add a ton to the game. And instead it's just kind of like, I mean, you get used to it on Switch.
It's just sort of tedious though.
Yeah. You switch like tools with the triggers. So it's not like it takes a long time, but it's just kind of like, it is annoying when you're playing and it's like, oh, I just hit a tree with the wrong tool and this is annoying. Like,
well, it leads to you being like, I want to clear cut this whole area, so let me go chop down all the trees first. Let me switch tools. Let me go do all the rocks now.
But
you know what I mean? When instead you should just be, you know, willy-nilly hitting everything.
Yeah. So the way the mobile version works is you just have like an action button basically. And if you're standing in front of a tree, you hit it with an axe. If you stand in front of a rock, you hit it with your pickaxe. So you still need to have all the stuff in your inventory. It just kind of like removes the needlessly fiddly kind of like tool swapping stuff, which I think is
pretty cool. That is amazing. I do really want to start up a new game on mobile and play through it again, because I put like I think 180 hours into the Switch version or something like that, like a really absurd amount of time.
You know what that means is you spent more time in Stardew Valley than a police officer spends in training.
I know. That's a fun fact. I saw something on Twitter. I could de-escalate a farm situation, no problem.
The only thing, like, what makes me want to restart on the phone is just kind of like see what the combat is like. Because there is the combat system, even on the Switch, I think at best I would describe as like kind of clunky.
Yeah, it's definitely clunky. You know, a lot of things about the game are clunky.
And I think this one has a like auto swing, though, sort of like
something like
cells,
that,
doesn't it?
I think you can like tap an enemy and he'll just whack away at it until he's dead, instead of like having to continuously swing or whatever. But
like the dungeons and stuff are actually, particularly as you get deeper and deeper into the mine or whatever, they get really challenging, I thought.
Yeah.
And maybe, I don't know, maybe I was kind of just getting ahead of myself by like going down deeper than I should, and you eventually get equipment that makes it easier and all that stuff. But like, I found it to be pretty challenging, and it's one of these things that I think might be frustrating on the phone, maybe.
Yeah, that could be. The other funny thing is, like, when I first got Stardew Valley on Switch and started playing, you probably played for like a week or two before you're like, you understand everything. And then you always have that thought of like, should I restart and do everything the right way or whatever? But I didn't. It's my same game I originally started with. But you definitely learn some things where you're like, if I could do this over again, I'd do it different. And always envisioned like, hey, when it comes out on mobile, that'll be my redo game. And but at this point, I haven't played on Switch in so long, I don't remember anything. It would be like playing for the first time all over again anyway. So whatever. But
yeah, I my Switch game, I was kind of like hitting the point where I was just starting to get the better sprinklers.
Yeah.
And was like redoing my whole farm to use the better sprinklers. And it was like such a resource grind that I was just like, because I feel like you had to go really deep in the mine to get whatever ore, like whatever special ore you needed to make the sprinklers. And it was just like a hassle.
Yeah.
So, but still, really, I mean, it took me like 150 hours to get to that point. So it's not like I'm bashing the game at all.
No. So anyway, pick up Stardew Valley for $5. On iOS or Android right now. They're both on sale. And it's a good $5 well spent. So we talked about this before when it was upcoming. Hidden Folks was going to start getting some pretty big updates. And they actually changed the pay model so that instead of being one price and then selling expansions as in-app purchases, there's going to be no in-app purchases. And instead, they're just going to raise the price every time they released a new big update. So this week brought the first of those, called the On Tour update, which brought in a lot of new content, new levels, and also bumped the price up. So just like the Rocket Cat Games sort of method of pricing things, which just makes so much more sense. It's like early adopters get rewarded because they get the game a little bit cheaper, and then any future content they get for free. And then people that wait too long, yeah, you're paying more, but you're also getting a richer game, has all the bug fixes and all the extra content that comes from a game being out for a while. Mm-hmm. So I feel like it's a win-win all around, as opposed to the normal strategy of let's launch this game at $10 and then 2 days later make it 99 cents and piss off everybody that bought it for $10.
Yeah.
That always felt like the most counterintuitive thing, but you'd see it in mobile almost every day. So anyway, good on them for doing that. And then people obviously just don't like in-app purchases either. So it's kind of cool to be like, we don't even have those. Even when they're the good time, good kind, that's just like a DLC pack or whatever. Some people just are turned off by it. So Hidden Folks is like this really good Where's Waldo type of hidden object game. So much personality. It's all hand-drawn and human sounded, or whatever. All the music sound effects is made by humans, which is very charming and good. Just such a rad game. Everyone should buy this too. I think it's $6 now. Is that the increased price? I think it was $5.
Yeah, before went from $4.99 to $5.99, if I recall correctly.
$4.99 to $5.99. So that's like barely even a bump anyway. But super fun game. Definitely a good game if you have kids or have family that wants to play something together. A really good thing for that, and also just a good game all around. It's just not a lot of games have this amount of love and stuff put into them. So definitely check out Hidden Folks. Check out the new update, the new content. And hopefully they just keep adding this game forever.
I would describe this as extremely whimsical, I think, is the...
Very whimsical, yes. That's a good word. Yeah.
Describe it.
Moving on, the space strategy game Crying Suns from developer Alt-Shift is arriving this month on iOS and Android. June is getting pretty stacked with releases. The funny thing about this is that we actually posted about it 2 years ago, as a heavily FTL-inspired strategy game set in space.
I'm extremely into this. As someone that loves FTL.
Yeah. And it's kind of funny. It's one of those situations, like, so it was March of 2018 that we posted about it, but so that's not that long. I mean, a couple of years, whatever. But, like, a lot of times we post about games and you never hear from them again. Or, like, years down the road, you might come across something about it and be like, oh, yeah, like, whatever happened to that game? And I kind of feel like this was one of those games where it was like, whatever happened to that game? Well, this week we found out it actually got picked up by Humble Bundle.
Cool.
Yeah, they're going to be publishing the game, and they're actually called Humble Games now because they do so much publishing that it kind of sounds weird to say Humble Bundle. So Humble Games is actually going to be the publisher of this, and they released a new trailer alongside that announcement, and it looks really cool, especially if you like games like FTL. So it's going to be $25. It's $25 on Steam. The pre-orders aren't up for mobile yet. I doubt it's going to be $25 there. It'll probably be cheaper on mobile because that's just the way the world is. But they don't know what that's going to be so far.
I
got
my money on $9.99.
$9.99 seems like a sweet spot. So,
yeah. Let's see. It looks cool, though. I love FTL adjacent games. I don't know. Like, this is just something about it that I just really dig.
Yeah. Worth checking out the trailer if you didn't see it. And once we know the official release date and pricing and all that stuff, I'm sure we'll be talking about it again. But looks really cool. Always happy to see games that we posted about a long time ago continue to be around.
Yeah.
Continue to exist and even release.
Get released instead of just like falling into obscurity and existing as a sad half-finished project that sounded really cool somewhere.
Exactly. And then finally this week, we had known about this for a little while, but Oceanhorn 2 on Apple Arcade just got a huge update. It's now called Oceanhorn 2 Golden Edition. And it basically brings an expanded ending and a bunch of quality of life stuff like 60 frames per second support and a bunch of new content. And it's kind of like a big polished release type update, which is kind of cool. Because I know a lot of people were not stoked on the ending of this game. And I know it had a lot of weird technical issues here and there. So kind of cool to see the Corn Fox Brothers working on this. Are still working on and adding to this game, Oceanhorn, the original. It's kind of like a legendary mobile game, so it's a nice series. And Oceanhorn 2 really kind of raises the bar in pretty much every way. So if you have Apple Arcade, check out Oceanhorn 2, check out the new update, and hopefully we see more from this series in the future, because I like Oceanhorn.
I need to go back and spend more time with this. This game, like, I feel like weirdly sort of slipped between the cracks of, like, the Apple Arcade, like, release onslaught.
Yeah.
Right? Where it was like, hey, here's 50 games to play. And you're just like,
Yeah. It was kind of a bummer, especially because we had followed this game's development for, like, 5 years or something. I think the original Oceanhorn came out in 2013. And I want to say the next year is when they announced the sequel. So, and then it was like every 6 months or so, or every year, there'd be some big news about Oceanhorn 2, and you just knew they were working hard on it. We'd see it at GDC in different forms. And so, yeah, it was kind of like a little underwhelming when it came out as an Apple Arcade game, because it felt like, man, we've been following this thing for so long, and then it's just one of many. And I feel like it didn't maybe get the just desserts of if it was its own sort of premium game release or whatever. So we'll see. But Ocean Horn 2, good game. And if you like Breath of the Wild-ish sort of games, that's kind of all there is on mobile that's anything comparable to that. So cool that they're updating it and making it better. Go check it out.
Yeah.
If you do the Apple Arcade stuff. That's kind of all I got for this week. You got anything you burn in on your brain?
Not really. I just Game Club Android stuff's coming soon. Kind of trying to reassess what to do with the launch, with the world on fire, and
I know
all that stuff. We were going to release Wizard Golf RPG this week, but that's coming next week. Game. So
fun. I was a Kickstarter backer of Wizard Golf. Actually.
Oh, really? I didn't know it was a Kickstarter game.
Yeah,
I guess that came out at the glory days of Kickstarter, where everything was a Kickstarter.
I actually think that was my first ever crowdfunding thing I supported. Actually, Drifter is probably the first. Drifter.
Oh yeah,
still in the works for the last a million years. But yeah, Wizard Golf is really good. I like it. So.
The cool. Yeah, Drifter. I hope my grandkids can enjoy Drifter.
I know, right? I hope there's still a world around for Drifter to be released into.
I feel bad giving him shit, but that game seriously has been in the works forever, right?
Yeah. Well, it's been in early access for like a good 3 or 4 years too. So, I mean, it's out there and you can play it and stuff like that. I feel like at this point, like you're never going to be satisfied and feel like it's finished. So it might just stay in early access forever.
This is something kind of interesting that happened to me the last couple of days or so. So I was browsing the internet, you know, like I usually do. I think I actually was like looking something up on Home Depot's website or something like that, or something, something home improvement related or whatever. It saw an ad for, it was like complete the survey and get a PDF of free woodworking plans for 50 simple DIY things. And it was like the little thumbnail was like a little bench and a little table and stuff. And I was like, oh, all right. This sounds cool. Like, I'll check this out. So I did this like survey, which was a really basic, you know, not noteworthy, that was like asking me, like, had I heard of like this tool brand or that tool brand? Like, obviously, like market research stuff, right? So I got the PDF. PDF's cool. It's got this bench I'll probably fiddle around making one of these days because I don't know. But ever since I've done that, I've noticed that all of the ads I see absolutely everywhere are for woodworking stuff.
No way.
I mean, it is crazy what a light switch that was.
That is the market research they were actually looking for, is what will you click on?
Because I remember it was like asking me like, are you interested in woodworking? And I was like, oh, yeah, sure. What's your skill level? I don't know, basic and all that stuff. I had to give my email to get the PDF, and I was just like, absolutely amazing the difference in all of the ads I see now across like both my Mac and my phone. 100% woodworking stuff, woodworking tools, like different ebooks that are like different kind of like paid things, like what I got for free. It was just like, I don't know, it's just funny to me because like you see all these people still that are like, oh, your phone's listening to you. You know, it's spying on everything you do. Yeah. And it's like, no, not really. I mean, like, I just told the internet advertising machine that I was interested in like woodworking stuff to the point that I would spend 3 minutes doing a survey. And now it just sees me as like the new woodworker DIY guy that needs a million different saws and saw blades. And what's interesting is like advertising me things that like I don't even know what they are, but can just tell that like there's something to do with like home workshop-y kind of stuff.
What I think you should do is build that bench and then sit on it and think about what you did.
Maybe.
But this is all the precursor to like, you know, a month from now we're going to be doing a show and you're going to be like, well, you'll have a pencil in your ear and you'll be like, so I've been chiseling away at this log and I made this thing and then I made this thing. You'll be like basically Ron Swanson from Parks and Rec and just living in a workshop, woodworking all day.
Well, I mean, what got me into it was I was like, oh, well, we're getting this, we're getting this house. It's got a deck and it needs some boards replaced. And I was like, well, I'll get a cheap saw from, you know, like Harbor Freight or something like that. Just, you know, to try to be more precise than the shitty tools that I have now. And then after I did that, I was like, oh, well, I have the saw. I can do something else now. So slippery slope, I guess.
That's how it all begins. That is a slippery slope. Semi-related to this is that I think this was something I saw on Daring Fireball, not somewhat recently, maybe the last couple months. But it's this whole rabbit hole of what companies own which tool brands. Have you ever looked into that?
Yeah, it's like Black & Decker owns like everything, right? Like
it's there's like three or four companies that own everything. And it's just so weird that there's so many of these different brands. And a lot of them are exclusive to, like, one of them is exclusive to Home Depot, one of them exclusive to Lowe's. And like they make certain things for certain stores. And it's just this whole weird thing. It's kind of like when you look up who owns like every soda brand or every fast food brand or something like that, and it's like five companies. Same thing in the world of tools, which I always found really fascinating. So if you ever want to go on a rabbit hole, just start Googling about that stuff. Although don't complain to me if you start getting ads for power tools for the rest of your life. Well, like Eli.
I mean, what always is amazing to me about this kind of stuff, like particularly, but like tools are a particularly interesting one because it's like people like have these like brand allegiances, right? Where it's like, I always spend the extra for Mac or DeWalt or whatever. I would never would buy Stanley or Craftsman or whatever. And then if you look it up and it's like, dude, all these fucking things come off the same factory assembly line. Like you think that like one's so much better than the other because it costs twice as much. And it's like, I don't know, maybe it's a little better, but it's certainly not like twice as better. I don't know.
I got roped into having Ryobi everything because of their swappable batteries.
I have for stuff I want cordless, I have Ryobi, and then for things that I don't care, I just buy like the whatever is at Harbor Freight.
Well, it's
you guys have Harbor Freight in California? You know what that is?
But it was annoying too because I bought when we bought our house, I went out and bought a drill because I didn't own one. And I just happened to buy the Ryobi because it was like the cheapest and seemed like fairly nice. But then you go and you need something else. I think I needed like a jigsaw or something. And it's like I could buy the jigsaw by itself and a battery for it. And it's like more than if I buy this like 10 tool box that comes with two batteries itself and stuff like that. So why wouldn't you?
Right.
But it has been nice because it came with like a circular saw, which I've used a bunch, and an even bigger drill. And it's actually been very handy to have two drills and some other things. But it's still just like, oh, well, I probably wouldn't have bought like Ryobi everything. But it doesn't make any sense.
That's the lock in. Like once you have the charger and like two batteries, it's like I'm never all right. That's I'm just in this ecosystem now. So I bought the drill that came with the charger and the battery, like when I got my first house, right? And that was like $50 or $60 or whatever that cost. And then we went to, we saw an estate sale, they had Ryobi tools, but each tool had a battery in it and it was priced as like one thing for really cheap. So I ended up getting like four extra batteries for like $20 or something like that. And now I'm like, I'm never going to get anything else because I have so many fucking batteries.
Rolling deep in batteries.
Which is funny. I don't even know who makes. I always assumed that was like a Home Depot store brand or something because I've never seen it anywhere else.
I think it is. I'll have to find that whole article about the brands thing because it's. I forget where Ryobi fell on everything, but it's. It's one of the many brands that are made by like the same four companies.
So yeah, kind of crazy. I think I might have found it. I might be looking at it right now. Let's see who owns Ryobi. Because it's like Bosch and Shervon and all these other companies you've never heard of before.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a
crazy rabbit hole if you ever are bored. So.
Yeah. Let's. Oh, I think I might have found it. Tektronic Industries. So they
Who even knows what that is?
Milwaukee Electric, Ryobi, Rigid, Oh, I didn't know that. Rigid is the same as Ryobi, basically. And then Hoover.
That's Dirt funny Devil, because Oric. I've since gone to like Home Depot before and been like, man, I kind of wish I would have went in on Milwaukee stuff because I feel like I like the look of it better.
Yeah.
But this doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's really wild. I don't know. I would really love to know like just how different like the like expensive rigid drill is versus the Ryobi drill that we have.
Right.
Like if there's really any difference to it at all, or if it's just the same.
Probably not. I feel like some drills have better torque or better power or things like that, but I think it's small, minor differences between them all. So
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, I always get shit from my friends for buying like Harbor Freight junk. And I'm always like, man, dude, like if I use a tool from Harbor Freight to the point that it breaks, then I'll go out and spend $200 on the good one, you know. Right. But like as is, most of the dumb shit that I bought from Harbor Freight, like I only use a few times and it's like perfect for what I.
What's the point? Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right. Well.
Now that we've talked about power tools and woodworking, I guess it's time to drive the bus off the overpass. Thank you guys so much for listening to this week's episode. Touch Arcade is primarily supported through our readers and our listeners and our viewers. So if you like what we do, please consider checking out patreon.com/touch arcade and supporting us in some way, even as little as $1 a month is a huge help to us. You can also do your Amazon shopping through toucharcade.com/Amazon, which is an easy and no cost way to help us out by buying things on Amazon that you'd be buying anyway. With that, thanks again for listening, and we will be back with another episode of the Touch Arcade Show next week.
See ya.